listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch,
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Michelle with you. My music's not working. Let me hit this thing again, see if I can get this going. Waiting for my great background music, man. It's up, but it's not, nothing's happening there. Anyway, I'll make my own background music, but you don't want me to sing, do you? Good morning. It's about a minute after 11 here in beautiful Los Angeles on a Friday morning, and I've got a great show for you today, and I welcome you all to call if you'd like to. Of course, let me remind you that I am your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. And we talk about relationships, problems, any kind of question you have, go ahead and ask me because I'm open for it. And let me give you that phone number you can call right here on LA Talk Radio. It's 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And just give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. And again, if you have any problems or questions or anything like that, we talk about it all, baby. You got a date from hell that you've been going on. You've got a relationship with a big problem in it. You've got a marriage. Oh, there's the music. Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Sam's right here with me. Do you have a good show this morning? Yeah.
No show today.
No show today? Okay, well, good. It's nice to see you, though. Sam of the famous Sam and Susie show in the morning. Hey, Gina, baby. How are you? Good. You look gorgeous. Anyway, I was giving you the phone number to call in, folks, 323-203-0815 if you want to talk about anything at all, and relationships especially. Let me tell you where you can find me if you'd like to know here about Dr. Michelle. You can find me on my website at drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com, and that way you can find out more what I'm about, my philosophies and theories and all that good stuff. And go ahead and write me. You can link up to my email, docmichelle@aol.com. I do have a lot of listeners asking me questions, and sometimes I put them on the air, but don't forget, I do get permission. I won't give your name or anything like that. We will keep confidential. And as I was saying, my special guest today is Gina Hendricks. Hey, Gina!
Hello.
Hello, girl. Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's so nice to have you today.
Thank you. I was below empty on gas, so I had to... Sorry, I was really late.
Hey, you know what?
So
it's
darn it.
Really crazy.
Yeah.
In the morning. And folks, the studios are in Studio City.
Yes.
In Los Angeles area of California. And all you listening around the country or the world or wherever you're at, it's probably the busiest intersection in the universe.
Good point. Yes, I would agree.
But we're here and we're having a good time. You know, guys, Gina is the host of her own talk radio show right here on LA Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. It's Love Life Makeovers.
Yes, it is.
I love your show.
Thank you. That's so nice of you.
Oh,
thank you very
it's
much.
True. And you are what you call yourself, which I love, a relationship headhunter.
You did your homework.
I did.
Yes,
and
yes.
And you are the creator of Selective and Single, and that's the name of your company.
Yes, that is the name of my company.
So what do you do?
Which makes it interesting when I go to networking events,
yes,
and they write Gina and then they write Selective and Single on it, and I was like, oh, hi.
Oh, no.
You know, so I mean, certainly it's a conversation starter.
I bet it
especially
is.
Especially with the men.
Yeah, I bet it is.
So basically I started my company just a little over a year ago now, last October, so, you know, and it's been growing steadily.
Great.
You know, maybe the timing wasn't right in this economy kind of thing, but you know what? Everybody needs love, and everybody wants to find someone, even in L.A., even if they're, you know, they're on a beer budget and they have champagne taste, which
right,
is, we'll
right.
talk about. But, yeah, so I just, you know, I don't know. I just liked the name because I feel like, you know, certainly that is sort of me and has been for a long time. And a lot of people I know, we're very selective and we're
yes,
single, you know?
Yes, exactly.
We're not desperate and single. We're selective and single.
Yeah. And, so, you know, that's awesome. I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's one of those need to have kind of businesses. Yes. You know, it's like something, it's not a luxury business that will go out of business in this economy. I mean, people really need to have, you know, bonding relationships. And I mean, my God, you wouldn't believe the amount of people who come to me or write to me who have been online on the internet and they've signed up for those services.
Yes.
And they've really hit some walls. I mean,
yes. I mean, you know, sometimes the online dating sites, they work for some people, but they don't work for others.
Right.
And generally, the clients that I have, they've pursued those avenues of online dating, and then they've just decided that, you know, that's not working for them, and they want more of a human, personal touch, which is what, it's where I come in. It's what I provide.
Right.
So
I think that's wonderful. And
it is,
it's good. It just seems like it's almost kind of like, many of my clients actually have met their husbands or their, you know, mates for life or whatever through other friends or through referrals or somebody else rather than the internet, because it's the personal touch.
Exactly. And
you know,
I mean, the thing is, and what I got the best compliment ever recently from a client.
Yeah.
And because he had actually pursued some of the other bigger dating companies that are out there.
Right.
You know, there's big ones. There's big ones out there that people have heard of. And I think people's inclination is to go with somebody that they've heard of, the ad's bigger and everything. But what his experience was, which was awesome, and it made me feel really good when he told me this, he went with one of the bigger companies because they're saying personalized matchmaking and they do all these things.
Right.
The thing is, they're big companies and they can't give people personalized matchmaking.
Right.
So basically,
he
was really looking for what I offer, since I'm just one person with a smaller company that's still growing.
Right.
And so it was perfect. And so he, you know, so
exactly.
And it made me realize that, you know, I am doing the right thing, and that just me being one little fish in a big pond is kind of actually a good thing. It's a great thing.
I think it's a great thing. And, you know, the tests that they give on those websites, I mean, they're, what are they called, empirically tested and all that. I mean, they do have certain categories, and they do go into great depth and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But still, when you're dealing with generalizations and numbers all that, it would be really hard. I mean, you have to, you as the relationship hunter, you have to experience and look at them and feel them and get their chemistry and get where they're coming from. And, and you know, I've got some really funny letters from listeners.
Good, good, good. I love
stuff
like that.
We're going to talk about.
Yes, yes, yes.
About some really awesome dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then some really bad, scary, weird dates, which are fun. We talked about that last time you and I, which was
it's
cool.
Awesome. I mean, there's never ending. There's a never ending amount of stories you hear from people in the dating world. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But you know, it's good because with what I do with my business, you know, I don't operate on a database of people. So it's not like if someone comes to me and becomes my client, they will be set up with somebody who is also my paying client. I mean, I don't rely on that. I mean, I know great people certainly, but I'm not about setting people up in that are also, you know, paying clients with paying clients.
Right,
it doesn't work
exactly
that way. I just go into the world,
whether
I'm at the grocery store or an art show or the park with my dogs. And if I see someone physically that I think matches what the person my client's looking for, I just walk right up to them and start chatting them up. And they're very flattered. They're impressed that somebody has gone to these lengths to meet them. And, you know, and I'm just making this guy or girl, but mainly I have male clients.
Yes.
Sound like, you know, he's like this great hero of a guy, and I'm giving him a testimonial
right
off the bat. So she's already super excited to meet him. So
that's so cool.
And that's how it works. Yeah.
You know what I loved when you just said something about even in LA, I help people meet that, you know, for people who don't live here, maybe we can talk about some of the differences in thought and style. Maybe that people wouldn't, if someone was in more of a rural city or something like that, where everybody knows everybody, you know, everybody hangs. I'm not. Why am I talking like that? But I mean, it's just more. It just seems more friendly and a lot of less pretenses. So what do you? I mean, I know what I experience in LA, but what do you see in LA that's really different about other maybe cities or more rural places in terms of the availability of women and men and how they react to each other?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly I feel like, you know, I have my family, I'm from Memphis, and you know, my cousins live in Mississippi and Tennessee, and you know, your choices are not so unlimited. Your choices there are more limited, let's say. I think those, you know, people in smaller towns or cities outside of Los Angeles or New York or San Francisco, they have more realistic expectations. I think, especially in L.A., it draws people who want bigger and better things for themselves.
Yep.
So whether they want a bigger, better career, or they want a bigger, better husband or girlfriend or whatever it is, that is the lure, you know, the fantasy lure of L.A., that basically anything is possible.
Yes.
So therefore, I think it does make people less apt to commit to
yes.
a lot of things.
Yep.
They're less apt to commit to a party at your house because there could be a better party. I mean, that's the lure
yeah.
of L.A. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
There might be something better coming along. And
right.
that is where it's a little difficult. But if somebody's been here long enough, I feel like, you know, if they've been here long enough and they've gone through it,
right.
then there gets to a point to where then they come around and they are ready for more of a long-term committed relationship, and they're willing to be a little bit more realistic.
Right.
They still maybe,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
have bigger grandiose notions than if they were in a small town.
Right, right.
But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hear these stories from guys and women, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of guys
okay.
Who talk to me about going to clubs. And it's really, I think, true what you're saying about, single guys
mm-hmm.
who I have as clients.
Mm-hmm.
Actors.
Okay.
A couple of them. So they're in the scene, you know. They're
sure.
in the whole in-club scene, you know,
yeah,
where
they
you've
go
got
out
to be
a lot.
Seen.
Yep.
And you've got to look good, and you've got to be, you know, it's, folks, if you're not living in L.A. and you're not single and in the club scene and in the, you know, you're a young adult and stuff, it's hard to envision. But, I mean, it's kind of like these guys will say to me, I went into this club and we were with, yeah, I was with a bunch of friends. We're just drinking, and then I saw this really hot lady, and her friends were really cute, and we were all talking. And then I saw this other woman who was looking at me, who was even hotter. And then, wow, we started talking and everything. She was cool, but oh my God! Then this other woman across the other way, she
right.
had the most incredible boobs and body. She was so gorgeous. And then she came over, and it's kind of like they're in a candy shop,
oh,
and
absolutely.
They're going, shall I have Bordeaux or just chocolate cream,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I'll have butterscotch rum? Or I mean, it's just, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that,
right?
But it's almost like the mentality. And they say to me, Dr. Michelle, I really want to find a mate.
Oh, they do say.
And I'm saying, you do? You mean you just don't want to get laid? Is that, I mean, aren't
right.
you going into the club just so you can do that? Well, yeah, I mean, that would be nice.
Can you,
I mean,
what's the age range of these guys?
The two guys I'm thinking of, one's 26
okay.
and the other's 34.
Okay, they're still a little young. So
right.
I think personally the words are coming out of their mouth, but their actions don't follow that
right.
they want a serious relationship.
Right,
so
right.
they should just enjoy what they're doing.
They're just tasting the candy.
Absolutely.
They just want to
I had this guy on Wednesday, on my show this past Wednesday,
uh-huh.
and he is 27, and he is like a Greek god. I
yes.
mean, he's 6'3", and all the women just like followed his feet. He's beautiful.
Yes.
And that's what I said to him. I said, you know, what's it like to be a kid in a candy store? How do
right.
you choose? Why would you choose?
Right. Right.
And he said, well, yeah, you kind of don't really want to choose. And, you know, and at that age, doesn't need to yet.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, for men, they don't have to for a long time. They don't have the same kind of clock ticking that the women do. Although, I've heard from several men lately,
mm-hmm.
they feel like in a way they do because they don't want to be old dads.
Right.
So,
no, that's interesting.
You know,
yeah, that's interesting. So you're working with people who really are interested in finding committed relationships,
absolutely.
Too. Not just, you know, hanging out and finding a hot person to, you know, have a fling with and then move
no.
on.
And no. Because there's so much involved. There's a lot of questions that I ask, and I really get to know the person, and I also ask to see pictures of ex-boyfriends and girlfriends, which I cannot tell you how telling that is.
Really?
How
so
revealing.
What do you find out about that in terms of
well, it's
their choices
yes.
in the past and why they've been so bad, right?
There's that.
Right.
Or even just, you know, they can answer the questionnaire that I give them.
Yes.
And yet fail to mention, you know, this one lady that I had a consultation with. I mean, everything about her profile, she sent me a profile from Match, and
yeah.
she answered my questions, and everything about her. To me, I got a picture of, you know, she liked to ride horses and the country and da-da-da. And so I was sort of, you know, getting my wheels turning about, well,
yeah.
okay, men. And so I asked her to bring pictures of ex-boyfriends. And when we had our consultation, she came, she brought the pictures. And she only dated African-American men.
Oh, okay.
Which to her was obvious because
right.
it was in her head.
Sure.
But she just never meant it. So little things
in
like that.
In her profile, she said, by the way, my type is, or I prefer.
Right, but she didn't, but it was no, you know, And even maybe in her profile, she probably had not specified either the ethnicity or race of the man. Maybe said she was open. But when you tell me that you've only dated African-American men, then that just, you know, then we need to go down a different road. Or I know that there's other options. You know, it's
you're going to change your scope for her type. You're not going to be out there like, Now, that's interesting.
It changed so much. And I can give you other examples. And, you know, in the case of this one guy. I said, send me pictures of your ex-girlfriends. He said, I can't.
Yeah,
I said, you can't, huh? Because I've never had a girlfriend. And away, I went, ding, 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 ding. He's 36. He's never had a girlfriend.
What was up with that?
And I said to him when we got together, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you a virgin? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I am. You know, but I would never have gotten to that so quickly had I not asked for the pictures. It's weird. It just reveals so many different things.
Wow.
One way or another. That's
really interesting. And, you know, in this town or in this society, you know, it's like the movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I mean, they're making fun of this guy, of course. And but I mean, really, it's a very sensitive thing. And if somebody is very, you know, he's looking for a lady or a guy, you know, he may be straight or not.
I asked him if he's gay he's not gay, and now he is in a relationship. So there's a happy ending to that story.
Oh, really? Good. Yes, fixed him up, huh, baby?
I fixed him up style-wise, you know, because that's part of sometimes what I offer if people need it, you know. And certainly the date coaching and the, you know, you had asked, I read the email as I came over here about, you know, can chemistry be cultivated?
Yes.
Well, with him, you know, he needed these dates orchestrated. Like, you know, had he just gone out to dinner, this is why online dating didn't work for him.
Yeah.
Had he just gone out to dinner with girls?
Right.
It was just like cardboard conversation. I mean, he's a great guy, but he was so shy, he needed some mojo. I came in with the mojo, which was I know who he's going out with because I'm setting him up with her. So I know what she likes to do. So then I plan what I know she's going to like to do. He's going to like to do it because he's with a cute girl, and, you know, it's more than what he's
exactly.
So, and it was all good. And that is actually what ended up working for him the best. Me kind of kickstarting ways for him to create chemistry and get more of a rapport going with the ladies.
Yes.
He actually ended up meeting a girl at work.
Wow.
But, you know, certainly through working with me, and I also got him into sex therapy.
Wonderful.
Because I, just through working with him, I found out he was so painfully shy that he couldn't even hold a girl's hand after many dates. And so that was beyond my scope. So I took the step to find him a sex therapist, insisted he started working with her, and then that combined with all the other elements I did for him, boom, now he's with some. So it's awesome.
And it's, see, that kind of thing is really doable for people who are maybe a little afraid to come forward or be painfully shy or, you know, and a lot of it has to do with just unawareness of how they affect other people or, you know, low self-esteem or, you know, am I, because of all the pressure, this is something else in society what I hear. From young, cute guys who come in to see me or email me or whatever, seemingly they have their act together, professionals, you know. I don't feel good about my body. I mean, this is the big thing. When, I mean, you know, come on, Abercrombie and, you know, look at the models and you go, ooh. I mean, everything is about abs with guys and muscle tone and slender.
Right.
And, you know, it's all about that, in especially in our, in L.A., when you've got so many, you know, people in show business here. And I have such, I mean, I look at these people and I say, what are you talking about? I mean, not that they, you know, whip up their shirts during our therapy
take
sessions.
Off your shirt, let me check you out.
Yeah, that'd be kind of an extra thing.
Yeah,
hey,
a
little perk for Dr. Michelle. But I mean, lawsuit. Anyway, so I, you know, but I mean, they look really fine and they're, you know, they look fine, not particularly, you know, way muscular or way thinner, and they look fine.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just blown away at how many women and men are so insecure about their bodies and the way they look and oh, I'm not this enough and I'm not that enough. I'm saying, okay, then start working out a little bit if you feel bad. But you're really okay. In the scope of the general thing, you know, you're fine. You look wonderful.
Do you ever ask them, you know, are these people, are the guys or people that are complaining, are they going for like really hot girls who do have great bodies? That's probably the case because that's my experience here in LA.
Yes.
Women just think that even if they're an average attractive woman but not like a supermodel, they think they deserve George Clooney. He has to not only be rich, he has to be tall. He has to have his hair. He has to be good looking. He has to be good.
That's right.
So, and then I find that a lot of times, you know, men, if they are like, you know, feel insecure in some way, then they're sometimes trying to compensate by having an extra gorgeous woman.
Sure.
Well, then, yes, then the, obviously these men are do have whatever insecurities. Whereas if these two normal people, the women who want George Clooney and the men who want the supermodel, who these people who, you know, aren't perfect themselves, if they got together, they'd be in happy relationships and not be so like freaked out about, you know, capturing. I just think too many people, you know, do have that. They need to capture the supermodel. They need to capture George Clooney.
And, exactly. And that, you know, that's all and wonderful. And that's where sort of therapy comes in, though, because when you finally get the supermodel and George Clooney together or whatever, or, you know, Brad Pitt or whoever. And, you know, it's really important to have some kind of respect and intelligent conversation and common interest. And, you know, if that's all you want, then they do deserve each other. I think it's great. If they all they want to do is kind of go out and, you know, display, and there's not much chemistry with them, but they go out and they show everybody that they're hot and they're, and then, you know, sex is great between them. Good. That's wonderful. I love that. But if they're really, really looking, they need to have some kind of, like you, help them with common interests, passions, they need to have some kind of humility about letting down their defense mechanisms so they can talk to each other comfortably and be open. And
well, and they have to also have the inner qualities that whatever that person is looking for. You know what I mean? And so I actually yesterday I was like, oh, this is a great analogy. The best analogy I've come up with is, you know, it's sort of like, you know, as if you've been going to a restaurant for a long time and you've just determined to order off the menu. But every time it like gives you heartburn or, you know, or you have a bad reaction. But you know what? It just looks so delicious. And, you know, you just always order those certain things off the menu. Well, if you finally decide to give up and just let the chef choose what he thinks is right for you and you're just willing to taste it and enjoy it. That is when you'll be receptive to finding somebody.
That's
you know what I mean?
I agree.
That where you'll have the
really,
best meal you've ever had
yes.
because you've opened yourself up and you're not picking it based on the shiny outer qualities or the way it's supposed to look. Because you can't predict how your husband or wife is going to show up, in what package, in what form. And if you're dead set on it, it's a problem.
Yeah, it really is a problem.
Yeah.
And it's not about settling. I mean, it's about, see, it's about... first of all, I always say you have to be somewhat attracted to that person.
Sure.
Or there's not going to be much chemistry, and you're going to be thinking about somebody else when you're, you know, intimate with them or whatever. But there's got to be chemistry, some kind of attraction. But I mean, you know, some kind is great, but if you're just going to settle for that hot person that's only going to turn you on, then you're that's cool. You're just not ready to get into a serious relationship. You have to go beyond that, like you said, and stuff.
And I mean, I tell I tell people all the time, you know, I've had the experiences in my life where, you know, and certainly I've dated actors and you know, models and, you know, whatever. I've dated a lot myself. And, you know, I've had the experience of being in a place in my life where I was just really open and receptive to being treated really well. And just thinking of other things that I wanted more than, you know, how much style does he have, or how, you know, or how much of a bad boy or whatever. Anyway, and then I've given these great guys a chance, and I've actually become attracted to someone who, after 10 dates, I was still like, I just, he's so great, but I can't even, I don't even want to hold his hand.
Really?
I gave up, and I just said, you know what? He is so great. He treats me so well.
Yes.
That I'm just going to go for it.
Yes.
And I did, and I had a couple wines, and then I kissed him, and then, you know what? Boom, boom. It was like striking a match. And,
wow.
And it kicked, it was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't work out ultimately, you know, because I got my own issues, I'm sure, but, or the timing wasn't right. But
exactly.
I do believe that when you're really ready for somebody who just treats you really well and provides, you know, where boosts of your self-esteem or whatever it is, that you can become attracted to them. I do believe it.
I agree. And I think there are a lot of hidden signals within us that we pick up. You know, it's called instinct. And I think we really pick up from other people whether they're ready or not. I mean, there's that initial excitement, you know.
Yes.
The initial sexual excitement and attraction and, you know, I'm ready for that. Or I'm, wow, I'm really looking and, hey, this could be the one. But then further on down the line, you know, I think there's a sense, there's also a sense of, just instinct where we do feel if someone is really ready or not. And if someone's defensive or they've got issues going on or they're, you know, there's something we're going to pick up. We just mm-hmm. kind of have to attune ourselves and open up to mm-hmm. why is this not, wait a minute, what am I picking up from this other person? I think we put out that, not to sound really, you know, I don't know, 80s, but I think we put out that energy of mm-hmm. of what we're really looking for subtly, and I think other people really do pick it up.
I think that's very, very true.
You know? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about non-genuine, you know, it was so cool. I was reading your stuff about your
tell.
Company. And no, but you were talking... You're welcome. You were saying that how hard it is to meet genuine people. So I have a definition, but what would you... How would you define more genuine people?
I would say somebody who's, you know, not a fair weather friend type of person.
Yes,
somebody
yeah.
who, let's see, a definition of genuine person. I say down to earth.
Yes, yes.
You know, their feet on the ground, their head on straight. Somebody that you know is a good friend that their friends can count on. You know, that's
right.
responsible and does the right thing and. You
yes.
know, not a flash in the pan, not, you know, let's see, let me think what's not genuine. Might be an easier question to answer.
Okay.
You know, somebody who is just impressed by the kind of car you drive or the kind of clothes you wear or is impressed with, you know, what somebody can do for them.
Right.
Rather than just liking people and caring about people.
Exactly. Okay. Just being. I had a client come in day before yesterday. Older lady. Mm-hmm. Single.
Okay. How old? Age range.
I think she's probably 52.
Okay.
52. And she said to me, she's had relationships. She was married once.
She was married. Okay.
But not very long. Uh-huh. But she gets really scared. She bounces around.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing, you know, all questions. That was the all question therapeutic uh-huh. session. Well, why do you think you do this? You know, what do you think happened in your past? That I mean, this is the no-brainer psychodynamic therapy session that we did. But we go through different phases uh-huh. of cognitive, behavioral, humanistic. You know, I do all these different techniques, but we were doing the exploration part. And I said, what do you think it is within you that makes you finish a relationship and need to move on? What has not been right for you in all of your relationships?
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, she actually had the audacity to say to me, and she didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, after a while, I realized that I'm not really getting anything that I need from them. I've heard all their information, okay, like a computer. I mm. know what they're all about. I kind of know what their lives are going to be about. And this is a lot of relationships she's been through. Mm. And they're not stimulating enough to me. And they're not giving me really what I want. And I'm pretty much done with them. It was almost kind of like, you know, a piece of paper. And then she just decided to, I'm done. She says, I'm not learning anything new. I'm not becoming richer in my life, in my knowledge.
Is that what happened with her marriage as well?
Wow. I think she just kind of booked on that one. She didn't specify about her marriage. She wouldn't really go into the details of what happened with that.
So is she telling you, though, that she wants to be in a relationship with someone?
Yeah, she's feeling lonely, and she'd like to be in a relationship, but what we have to do is take care of why she's so willing to dispose of them so quickly and move on. What, you know, it's, of course, fear-based.
Does she have any pets?
No, she doesn't.
So she has huge commitment issues.
She really does. She really
does. I wonder if she has any plants, house plants.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, it's true. I mean, you go back to the basics.
Yeah.
Can you water this? Can you make this thing live?
Right.
Can you help with these? Exactly. No, it's really true. The basics.
She has huge commitment issues.
Had a child from her husband.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the biggest...
Yeah,
most wonderful thing in her life,
uh-huh.
and the child is wonderful to her, which is great. It's a big commitment.
Yeah, how old's her child?
She is, I think she's 20, about 20, I think she had.
Interesting.
You know, she had a kid when she was a little older, I guess, actually, in her 30s, because
she's
52. But it was just that everybody is not filling her up to bring her enough creative and learning, and she, you know, to enrich in her life. And I'm trying to explain to her that relationships indeed make us richer mm-hmm. and warm our hearts. But and people who take from us and are negative and hurtful and have issues and put their stuff on us, indeed, that's okay. You don't have to continue on with a relationship like that. But someone who is just going to be, like you were talking about, just a good friend, to be there, to be responsible, mm-hmm. To share with you, and you have enough interest in them to where you can share with them, and just trust, safety. And she didn't get it. To her, a relationship is taking from and getting enrichment, not giving. She talks about sharing her stuff. She's very intelligent. Mm-hmm. She's very creative. She was a professor at one time. Mm. She's all about intellect and defining things and analyzing and go, and it's great.
But it sounds like she doesn't think anybody's really smart enough for her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I exactly.
Yeah.
So it's but you know, behind that mm-hmm. lies very low self-esteem sure. and fears. I mean, really? That I think that's what's underneath it all. I don't think it's you know, really the idea that, well, maybe, you know, we last time also you and I were together, we talked about that narcissistic personality disorder where,
right.
you know, some folks think they can do no wrong and they're perfect and they're all about, they're the best.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, nothing that they do and choose to do, and since it's all about mm-hmm. them, really they have no clue about how it affects other people.
You know what's interesting, I have to say, I think, and I've been talking about this lately on my show, mm-hmm. is, you know, what's interesting is that I find, now you may disagree, that women are by far pickier than men.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Because, like, with men, I mean, and there's exceptions to everything, but what I find is the majority of men, you know, are just happy. They don't care if what a career a woman has necessarily, uh-huh. Uh-huh. for the most part.
Yeah.
They don't care how much money she makes. You know, they don't care even if she's a little heavy. I mean, I'm not saying
right.
like obese or fat,
right.
but, you know, they're not, you know, they're okay. As long as her face is somewhat is attractive to
mm-hmm.
them, cute,
mm-hmm.
attractive, and she's easy and fun and great to be with.
Yes.
That is enough for them.
Yes.
For the most part. Women, and I can say pretty much across the board, okay. when I ask them, so tell me, you know, your type, tell me what you like, you know. I mean, literally, they are just, they are painting a picture, like I said earlier, of George Clooney or, you know, or Johnny Depp or anybody that's like, everyone would love them, for God's sake.
Right.
Or JFK Jr. You know, so he has to have a great job.
Right.
He has to have a great body. He has to be tall. Because I know several men that are just fabulous, and
yes.
I mean have huge successful companies,
yes,
but they're short,
yes,
and or they have a huge successful career but they're short,
yes,
and they have problems getting ladies because the ladies don't, you know, even though these guys are fabulous, they want to get married,
right.
and they have great careers and they've
exactly.
got a lot of money, he's short, forget about it.
That's really not okay. And like you said earlier, you have to be willing to open. I mean, people do have their standards and what they want. And I think it's that old brain. If you go back to scientists know that we have our old brain and we don't think sometimes wisely about relationships and who we're picking. We think about procreating your seed
mm-hmm.
and your species. So I want my babies and my men to uh-huh. my children, men, you know, men,
right.
children to all be 6 feet tall plus. So, you know, there's somewhere, but I know what you're saying. I get that.
You have to think, you know, down the road,
yeah.
You know, as you go along, and you've been married a long time.
Yeah.
You know, people's looks change.
Yeah.
Or their jobs change.
Yes.
Or things. So, you know, but if they're a really, you know, great person, then, you know, you have to think when, you know, the night's cold or, you know, or you need a shoulder to cry
right.
on. You know, the other things that, you know, 6'2" is not going to matter.
Right.
Necessarily.
It's
do you
just
know what I mean?
Not.
No.
Yes.
No, no, no.
Exactly.
So I just think you just sometimes need to be a little bit more open-minded.
It's
not,
really
and
true.
Not settle, but just be more open-minded.
I really agree.
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some of the most common complaints that you hear after maybe people have been on old or some of the old relationships or some
mm-hmm.
of the dates that you fixed up or what are some of the most common things people are complaining about the other person?
Well, let's see. I you know, certainly when somebody goes out with someone and they talk about their ex-boyfriends or the people that they're currently dating.
Right.
That's not good.
So tacky. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
And
maybe
they're
nervous.
Maybe they're nervous, but, you know, it's not a therapy session, for God's sakes. It's
yeah.
a date. And some people make that mistake of just you know, or not even talking about ex-boyfriend, but revealing too much in general.
Right.
Too soon.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, on the first date, you don't want to tell somebody, you know, that your child, you know, attacked a kid at school with a knife or scissors. I mean, I've had that happen to me on my date.
Oh, my God.
With one guy who was telling, and he scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I just can't take that. You told me too much too soon, and no way. I mean, thank God he did. But you know, just.
Right, you got.
I think the common theme is when people just reveal too much about themselves too soon.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I think that's a really biggie.
Yeah.
A real big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that comes from, whether it's just you want them to like you and you want to feel so open and warm and you just want them to, you know, get who you are and that you're cool enough to open up and tell them you're eek, too much to take on.
But I also think, too, that some people just have what I call a platform. It's their platform. So whether I was talking to you, I have my spiel.
Right.
Or whether I go on my date, I got that same spiel. So, you
know,
and I think sometimes people forget that, you know, the spiel works for some people, but when you're on a date, it's you got to have a different spiel.
No, it's really true. You have to have a different spiel.
You do.
You really, spiel, baby.
Spiel.
You do.
Spiel it.
You really do. So I was looking over some letters here. I thought maybe I would read aloud some of these letters. This is really cool information, by the way. So
and reading them aloud will help.
Yes.
Because I, you know.
Yeah.
I can't. I couldn't understand them otherwise.
Exactly.
You look great today, too, by the
way. Oh, thank
you. Is that a vest? Is that a vest?
It is a vest. I have my turtleneck and a vest. Thank you.
Sexy.
I'm going to have you, you know.
You don't need any help.
Fix me up, baby.
You don't need any help.
Thank you. You're very sweet. Let's see. Talking about, first dates.
Mm-hmm.
And things not to say.
Okay.
This is from Kristen. And she says, Dear Dr. Michelle, I met a guy mountain biking near Denver. He seemed nice enough and was cute. So when he asked for my number, I didn't hesitate. We met at a local restaurant and I thought the date was going pretty well. Good conversation, interesting. And then he leaned across the table as I was eating my dinner and looked right into my eyes and said, quote, my, you're a husky girl.
My God.
And she said, what? And then he acts surprised that she was offended. She said, I asked him if he knew what husky meant.
Oh, and that was smart of her, though.
His response was, you know, I mean, this is the way I'm interpreting it. It says G-R-R, grr, husky. And she said, her and her slinky black top never recovered. And you can add that to the list of things never to say to a woman.
But you know what? That his reaction, the her, that doesn't sound bad to me.
That was kind of a sexy thing. Like,
I know.
And maybe he could have rephrased or used another word. So like you're saying,
brush
up on your spiel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
husky.
You look really well-toned in that. Man, you are really well-toned.
Right.
You look terrific
He might
that.
Have been referring to like her voice. You know, she may have had, so I could see him going, husky, her. You know, that kind of thing, on that kind of a level.
See, I didn't even go there.
That's what I was thinking, and maybe that's what he meant. I don't know, but that poor guy, he needs some...
He needs some help.
He needs to get a, you know, figure out another way to compliment a lady.
He needs Gina Hendricks.
Yeah, sure.
No, you're right, because some women have that kind of... That
sexy,
husky...
They would say husky.
It's a husky voice, you know, it's that sexy... A lot of disc jockeys I know get jobs from their husky voice.
Right, and especially if he leaned into her.
Yes!
That
body language.
Yeah, because if he was like stepping back and kind of eyeballing her up and down and saying husky, then I would think he meant fat. But I don't... Yeah, he didn't think it was an insult, so it might have been her voice.
I think that's interesting. She should have explored further, but
we
she just
call
assumed.
In, we could hear her.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, she just assumed it was about her and her back and her arms because she perceived herself as being a bigger lady.
I see.
Apparently, what I'm getting here, but I mean that's really weird. Okay, this is a really what not to do. Speaking about guys and dates, this is from Lonnie, and she said, "I have had several worst dating stories, but there are a couple that stand out in my mind." This is a good one. I was asked out to dinner by a friend's brother-in-law, and he took me to a supermarket salad bar for our dinner date.
Okay.
And then he told her, quote, I love this.
Yeah, I'm imagining myself.
Go ahead, help yourself. Take as much as you want.
Was he joking?
No!
For God's
sakes. No, I mean, that would be a funny joke.
Holy shush.
Wouldn't that be funny to take someone out to hometown buffet and go... Have as much
Eat
as
up.
You want. I
Eat
mean,
up.
Wouldn't
yeah.
that... I would love that sense of humor.
Yeah.
I would think, what a
For a minute.
Funny.
And then he'd be like, and then we're going to the 5-star restaurant next door. Come on.
There you go. Exactly.
And what did she say? Did she
say... she said, let's see. Oh, and in parentheses, she said it was one of those pay-by-the-pound salad bars.
Okay.
I felt like loading up on the heavy jello. But I didn't. I hung around with him for a couple of hours, and then I got a terrible headache and had to go home, never to date him again. Thanks for letting me vent.
I'm speechless. I can't even fathom. She hung out for a couple of hours, though.
I know.
That's sweet. A good sport. Yeah, very good sport.
That was really sweet.
That's one of the oddest things I've heard of. And I've heard a lot of things, but that's very, very odd.
Exactly.
I can't even get my head around that.
Exactly. I had a call about 3 weeks ago on the air here. I was talking about the dates that people make excuses for, the good excuses. Like you just said, she hung around for a couple hours. Uh-huh. Wow, that's pretty good. And I was just reading off a list of tips how to get out of a really bad date, which is really awful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was doing the dates from hell scenario and reading some of these letters. And one of the suggestions one of my listeners wrote is the old classic. This was a blind date.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her girlfriend call at a designated time while they were at dinner.
Yeah.
During that, you know, it was like, oh my goodness, I have to take this call.
Yeah.
And there were signals. If the guy was nice and the date was going well at 7:15, mm-hmm. And they were at the dinner table, then she had a code word that she would use. Oh, yes, I'm just having my salad, or martini would be the code word or whatever. Yeah. And that meant, we're having a great time. Mm-hmm. Don't call me back.
Right.
And then she'd have another code word. You know, mm-hmm. That she'd put in there about like something she did during the day. Oh, yes, I did call that businessman. Don't worry about it. So the code was for mm-hmm. the bad date. It was a date from hell, was businessman. So she put that in her thing and she said, oh, my God. She went into this big acting scenario with this guy sitting across from her.
Mm-hmm.
So the story, I was reading this out loud, and she said, oh, my God, I've got to go. My friend just got into an accident. I'm freaking out. I feel so horrible here. Let me give you some money. She said it was just a horrible date, but this is how she got out of it. She felt really bad, and it was such an emergency that she had to leave immediately.
Right.
I got a call in the air from a guy who had that happen to him, and he found out later, because it was from a friend of a friend who'd fixed him up, that she didn't like him. And made that story up. And he was really hurt.
Absolutely.
And upset. And he was upset with me because I was laughing in a way. And I was sort of saying, well, I guess that's a good way to do it. If you're really having... I always encourage people to hang in there.
Stick it out. I mean, hello, it's just dinner.
Thank you.
It's not an arranged marriage.
Who cares? I mean, what...
And if he's paying, hell, eat up. I mean, seriously. Well, apparently.
Yeah. So I felt really, you know, I thought, no, that's, you know, that's exactly... That's our advice. That's Gina and Michelle's advice.
You know, yeah.
Hang out. Try to stick around. Yeah. Be gracious at least. Come on.
I mean, or, you know, the other thing is, if you are that kind of person that you feel like somebody needs to call and give you signals and you want to get out of it, then set a date where you've already told them you can stay this amount of time, that you've got something else going on. So it leaves it to where it's a short first, you know, encounter.
Yes.
So you can see them, get in, get out. And if you like them, you go out again.
Yes.
But you don't put, that's just not right.
No.
So not right.
No.
Yeah.
So not right. No. I mean, it's kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Kind of mean.
Okay.
In keeping with that. Shelley says, I had a date set up by a friend and I agreed to meet him at a local business where we would then go to the next town for dinner. Okay, so they met at a business and then he was going to take her, I guess, a couple of off ramps down for dinner. Upon arrival, we talked for a few minutes. I got in his car to go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the next exit on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
He proceeded to turn up the exit and back across, heading back to where we met.
Okay.
She said, where are we going? He stated that, quote, he wasn't attracted to me and it wasn't probably going to work. He took me back to my car and said, have a good evening.
Oh, whoa.
I was in total shock. He didn't even give me a chance to get to know me. He definitely wasn't someone that was attractive himself.
Yeah, well, that's usually the case, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So you and I are talking about, you know, the wanting the hot-looking whatever.
You're compensating.
And hang in there. At least be polite.
I know.
Sit there at dinner and chat. And how?
It's an effing dinner.
No wonder he didn't have any luck.
Yeah,
with women.
Exactly.
You know, no wonder.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
God,
that makes
I know.
Me so mad.
Now, here are some successful dates. I want to read this.
All right.
It's from Kathleen.
This is fun.
I love this stuff. Dear Dr. Michelle, when my husband, so that's the key word right there.
Yeah,
apparently it went really
lady.
Well.
Uh-huh.
Apparently the date went well.
Yeah.
When my husband took me on our first official date, we went for supper at a nice restaurant that was, by the way, packed.
OK.
Okay. He ordered the chicken fried steak meal. Partway through the meal, I could not figure out why he kept staring at me. When I asked him, he looked down at my necklace, which had fallen into my gravy, into the potatoes.
Funny.
Instead of doing the ladylike thing and wiping it with a napkin and feeling embarrassed, I lifted it up and licked the gravy off. That's kind of sexy.
Yeah,
sexy baby. That'd be some on a video, wouldn't it? Slow mo.
That's true.
Licking the thing off. Anyway,
a good like commercial for some gravy or some sort of restaurant.
That's right,
home style restaurant.
There you go. That's a really good idea. No, that is. So she said, instead of wiping it with a napkin, I licked the gravy off. You should have seen the look on his face. Needless to say, he's never been bored.
Yes.
That's cool.
Well, she seemed, she could roll with it. You know
I love
mean? She
it.
She didn't get freaked out.
Right,
and
exactly.
And like I said, I think men really do like a lady that's just kind of easy to be with.
Exactly.
That's not, freaking out.
And I think this is one of the most common problems that I see with clients is they're so self-conscious about how they look, dumb things they may be saying, gestures that they may be giving, or signs or signals that they may be giving to the other person that may be misinterpreted. They're so hung up on how they're being viewed that these people cannot just relax and be themselves.
Right.
This is a common problem. And it takes work on yourself to say, I'm okay with who I am.
Right. Right.
And this woman here in the story who felt comfortable enough to laugh
at
and,
herself.
Another guy would have been completely offended if she's licking the gravy off her necklace that fell into the potatoes. Some other guy would go, could you believe she did this?
That was a lady that didn't want to waste any food.
Yeah, exactly. And, men appreciate that.
And he may have been a frugal guy. So that's a match made in heaven. Who knows?
Exactly. But the point is that she was so comfortable that she was able to... do what she wanted to do and laugh about it. That would have been a shocker, though, seeing someone do that.
You know what's funny? I asked a friend of mine, well, she's a friend of a friend, to come on my show as a guest.
Right.
I saw her the other night, and she is 41, and she had gone on Match.com a few years ago, and she met a guy, and she dated him for 3 years.
Right.
And then they split up, and she was heartbroken for, 6 months, and then went back on Match.
Yes.
And she really wanted to get married and have a baby. That was her goal.
Right.
And so she went on to Match, and she was determined to find someone.
Right.
Well, she found a guy, even younger than her. They got married, and now she's pregnant. I mean, all within, 6, 7, 8 months, maybe, tops. So I said, come on and talk about, how, you went on to Match, and you weren't looking for the shiniest object, let's say. That's
exactly.
Just my sort of, my metaphor or my euphemism, whatever that word.
Yeah.
For that. That's
right.
My analogy.
Right.
But she got offended. She was like, she immediately went to, I didn't settle. I feel quite the opposite. I feel like I got everything I wanted.
Wow.
And I was like, kind of backpedaling. I was like, because I've seen him.
Yes.
And he's just a normal Joe. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I said, well, no. I don't mean anybody should settle. I just mean that you decided you wanted to get married and have a child. So you were choosing men who put that looked like they were just a good guy.
Right. That was
good
the priority.
Guy.
And you put that out there.
And I would love for you, but, I don't know. So people
she misinterpreted
have all these
that.
They have these messages in their head.
Right.
And they hear what they hear.
Exactly.
So it's a bummer because she has a lot to offer somebody to in terms of what she, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. No, that's really interesting.
Yeah. But she's pregnant, they're married, so it's
yay.
All good.
That is good. That's all good.
She
that's
got
a
what
good
she
story.
Wanted, man.
Exactly. And they are, there are people out there who are wonderful. Do not give up. I have so many people who come to me, women and men, that are about ready to give up. I am done. I've been online, I've been to all the dating sites. People misrepresent themselves.
I hear that a lot on the dating sites. People misrepresent themselves, Yeah.
And I think, they do, and rightly so.
Yes.
Well, you have to put your to appear better. It's like a job resume. Come
right.
on.
Well,
you have to get
right.
a little bit more positive,
Well,
know,
the thing is, what I hear is the problem is, when women lie about their age on the internet,
right.
There's a very simple reason they do that.
Sure.
It's because men set up their search criterias.
Right.
And they end it at 38.
Right.
So if a woman is 39 or 40 or 41, and yet she looks really young and great,
right.
They'll never see her because their filter is set to 38.
Right.
So the woman then lies to make herself sound younger. But the problem with all that is that they're setting it to 38,
right.
Not based on, looks. They're basing it And I talk to these men, so I know they're basing it because they want to have a child.
Exactly.
So they don't want a woman who's into her 40s, unfortunately, just because they'd have to rush.
Right.
So
right. I get that.
It's
I really
all
get
that, that. You know, it's all that going on.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many different things. But anyway, we're going to have to wrap it. Speaking about going on, we're going to have to go on. This is so fun.
I always have to do that to people. And it's like, now I'm that person. I'm like, what? The
That's
time
right.
ran out?
Folks, you can, of course, always listen to Gina and download her shows. She has wonderful stuff here. It's every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. and the show is called Love Life Makeovers, yep. and it's all about Gina and what she does, and as a relationship headhunter, her company is Selective and Single, and she can really help you out.
Yeah. And you can go to selectiveandsingle.com, and you can find me, and you can find out all about me.
That's right, folks, and listen to her. So this next Wednesday, listen to her show right here on LA Talk Radio. Just get online.
Thank you.
Get off the air and download it.
Thank you, my dear.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you for being here. It was so much fun.
It went by even quicker than last time.
I know. It's always a blast talking to
you.
You're welcome, my dear. Well, there's our music. Wait, we got music, baby. Anyway, this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Thank you for being on the couch with me today. We had a blast with Gina Hendricks. And you can check me out anytime, too. DocMichelle@AOL.com. DOC Michelle, 2Ls at AOL.com. Have a wonderful day, and I'll be talking to you. You can stay on the couch if you like.
And relax.
That's right. Take good care of yourself, and have a great one. Bye-bye.